get ready. Close all your apps, grab your willpower by the balls, and prepare to do 500-pound deadlifts for your brain. From WASM Studios in San Diego, California, this is the Superior Men Podcast with your hosts, Matt and Jay.
On today's episode of Superior Men Podcast, Jay has some words of advice.
You can't leave because you guys are at least safe.
All right, we may be safe, but we still have to watch CNN.
Don't say the C word, all right?
All right, sorry. What are you going to do if I say it again?
Your children have already died.
All right, that took a dark turn. All that, much more. Superior Men Podcast. And welcome back to the Superior Men Podcast. Every day, you guys get to listen to that amazing introduction that I just made for you. You are welcome. And you know who else is welcome? Besides all of you, is also my co-conspirator, Mr. J.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry you had to listen to all that. I apologize on behalf of the rest of us here at We Are Superior Men. Thank you for joining us on today's show.
All right. Hey, and, you know, we're getting the numbers. We see more and more people downloading and listening to this. So that means you guys are sharing. So thank you. Appreciate that. That is very, very cool. We like that you guys are sharing this with other people. It is fantastic, as you can tell, because we didn't charge you ahead of time. This is free, absolutely free. And we don't have any advertising because, I guess we just advertise just with us, just like, yay. So like, share, subscribe. There's your advertisement. If you guys have, anything that you would like to share with us, please do. You can email us podcast@wearesuperiormen.com. Both Jay and I check that. So if you have anything, please share that with us. Jay, tell the people what do we got coming up?
We are very excited to do our side project, our Superior Men bookcast. We're very excited to be able to do this, one of our favorite books and one of our favorite movies. Both Matt and I enjoy Chuck Palahniuk, and I'm sure you do. If you're a listener on the show for, you know, the last little bit here, no doubt you will enjoy Fight Club. If you don't already enjoy Fight Club, I know you can't talk about.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the rules, man.
I can't talk about Fight Club, but you know what? The only way that you can make Fight Club bigger is to tell somebody about Fight Club. So we're just, don't tell anyone else. Only the people here on the Superior Men Podcast. We're going to be doing that. That's going to be coming in June. If you are subscribed to the Superior Men Podcast, you will get the bookcast. If you want all of the bookcasts, make sure to sign up specifically for search for the Superior Men Bookcast. But if you just want some of the books, Superior Men Podcast, you'll get a handful of those. Currently available, our newest Ready Player One that just came out. We also have 1984, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Can't Hurt Me, 12 Rules for Life, other great books. So check those all out. Give you a chance to soak up some great material there. Also, our book.
Yes.
Matt, our book.
I know. It's, and it, you know, for those of you paying way too much attention, you've noticed that we are only doing the podcast bookcast. We're only doing two a month as opposed to our haphazard other schedule. So we have been cutting down a little bit, and it's because we've been hard at work. So what have we been hard at work on?
We're about to release very, very soon, imminently, the release of Sexual Magnetism. This is a book that's going to help you to improve your sex life. It's going to make your woman look at you in a whole new way. It's going to increase the amount of sex that you get. It's going to increase your ability to look at yourself in the mirror and go, damn, I look good. This, you're going to want this book. We've been working on it now for actually a couple of years. And we are very, very close to having that out. We will be offering some limited pre-sale copies and some excellent discounts only for our email list. to make sure you get onto that list, sign up at www.wearesuperiormen.com/join. That will also add you to our newsletter, so you'll get all of our coolest stuff, so you know when we release all of the things on our website. So make sure to sign up for that, and you will not be disappointed. Matt, what are we talking about today?
All right. Well, but today we got a we have a topic, and Jay has an article on the website talking about this, so you could check that out as well. But we're talking about breathing, man. You just got to breathe. So we're going to be talking to you guys about 12 reasons why you should start breathing on purpose. And you're like, dude, I do breathe on purpose. You're like, okay, well, but it's one of those weird things, right? Breathing is one of those things that, like, you probably weren't conscious that you were just breathing until I said breathing. And then you're like, I'm breathing. I don't know why I'm thinking about that now. Right, you think about it until you don't think about it, and then, but you keep breathing. So, but anyway, that's just sort of an abstract thought. Anyway, let's take a step back here, Jay. Let's before we go into these 12 reasons, because that's going to be our bread and butter. Let's take a step back here.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it seems like recently life's a little bit more stressful.
Coronavirus. I think that's just because everybody's locked in with all of their family.
Don't say the C word, all right? Like Corona. As long as you don't say it, it won't really exist.
All right. The Rona virus. But everybody's locked in with their family.
Yeah.
And significant others that maybe they're like, dude, I don't want you to be a significant other, but
you're not so significant others. Yeah. Now you're insignificant others.
You're insignificant others. Yeah,
you can't leave because you guys are at least safe. You don't have it. I don't have it. So we have to stay together.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
It is.
News is just, like, I swear our news consumption has gone 300-400% higher than it used to be. Even people who never used to watch the news are now watching the news
but
all
that's
the time.
Right. And because everybody's at home, so everybody's watching the news. And then, you know, news is not about, like, look at all the breakthroughs we've made in treatments and, you know, what's happening. It's like, why? You might already be dead. Coming up at 6 o'clock. And
your
children, like, that's what it's like.
Your children have already died.
What?
Right now, in their beds. I know. Have you looked at them? When was the last time you checked on your children? They're probably all dead.
They didn't know. The mother didn't know that her children already had coronavirus. She tucked them in safely at night. And when she woke up in the morning, she found them dead. Where are your children? But that's what the news is, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but, and I will, you know, and I have to do this because I say this to you. It's with an extension of the news being stupid social media. It's the same thing. It's just, I you know what? It's funny because I'll say it's less credible sources, but come on. The way that the news is right now, and I'm not like, oh, fake news. No, really, like, we're passing editorial comments as the news. And that's what we're doing. I don't care. It doesn't matter. MSNBC, CNN, Fox,
side note, in addition to that, because you're absolutely right, make sure that you check any news source that says anything. Even on the bigger websites, a lot of them will say opinion. They won't even be facts anymore. It's just like, this guy has a strong opinion and he's a good writer, so we're going to go ahead and put him on CNN.
Yeah, if you don't get stuff like if you get a statement that's being put forward without anything back behind it too, you just go like, and the model is, well, which my favorite one right now for the coronavirus, and the model is, 2.2 million people dead in the United States. We're a little short of that. We're a lot short of that. But there's some crazy alarmists that are out there, but that's because those people get the hype, they get the clicks, they get the notice. But
sure.
Like that adds to your stress, dude. Like
it really does.
Just an underlying layer of stress.
And we don't even need to talk about coronavirus here. Well before this, this was something that we had going on kind of already. We knew that we were stressed out.
But we're locked in right now, so it almost like ramps it up to another level, right?
It's already kind of a habit that we had. Worry was our national pastime even before the coronavirus.
Sure. I just drink.
And honestly, alcohol since coronavirus. You saw what the figures are on that one? 5% higher, 10% higher as a nation?
Really?
No. Okay. 25%.
What?
25%.
Yeah. So that's insane. So I will say what all right. So I'll throw this out here, but this is just a pimp for anybody who doesn't know this. By the way, I like good red wine. I enjoy red wine. That would be my drink of, well, actually I would say good red wine and good whiskey. Those two are my thing. I just placed another order with Caduceus Cellars and just had a delivery made the other day. If you haven't, please check them out, caduceus.org, caduceus.org. That's for those of you who know the band Tool or Perfect Circle or Pussifer. The singer of those bands, Maynard James Keenan, that is his wine. Not that he needs me pimping him at all, but outstanding wine made in, of all places, Arizona. But I just did that and had half a bottle last night, and it was fantastic. So I'm drinking. That's what I'm doing.
Well, and that is a way to reduce stress.
Yes, it is.
Sort of.
Ah, whatever.
There are certainly. I'm with you on the whiskey. Actually, I've recently discovered 7 and 7s. Which I didn't even know was a thing. It turns out that I'm a fan.
Yeah, there you go.
That is a way to relieve stress.
It's a Band-Aid. If you're doing it,
fix the potential issue, and really you kind of can't do it while you're driving on the way home. If you're stuck in traffic, if you are working, maybe not so much. Other potential options?
But you're working at home. I've seen some stuff too where people just put it in their coffee mugs. Anyway, I digress. So yes.
So your job is stressful, even if you have a work from home job, which check our previous podcast out if you have transferred to a home based situation there. Job very stressful. A lot of times if you're stuck in a job that's driving you crazy, you're like, I want a new job. Fantastic. Right. But changing your job, changing most things in your life is very, very stressful. You know,
it is. We've talked about that too. I mean, even positive change is still a stressor. So, you got married. Well, that's a stressor. You have a kid. That's a stressor. The same as like getting fired or getting a divorce or getting a new job. Like those are all stressors on your life. So you do have to have a way to relieve that, and that's, you know, that's definitely why we're talking about these 12 reasons why you should start breathing on purpose. Like that's part of this. So what is it? What's something? And talk to me a little bit more though about we said alcohol. That's not a bad thing, right? So I mean, it's not. It's a net negative, not a net positive, especially if you're using it to de-stress. We talk about working out, right? Working out is good, right?
Working out is fantastic, but it's work. And if you don't do it, I mean, that's another coronavirus thing that I think is really fascinating. A lot of people are like, well, now that I have all this free time, I should definitely work out or
not
more.
Yeah.
Eat more. I can just eat more. Because guess what? The amount of mental and emotional energy that it takes to put together a workout routine and to follow through with it is not much different if you go to the gym or you're staying at your house. It is challenging to start a workout program.
Well, just because you're changing habits. You're building new habits.
Doing new things. We have a number. We'll link to a couple of great articles we have on our website that can help you to start working out. And that's great. We want to give you a solution that's going to be faster than that.
You can do it right
faster.
Now.
Like you can do it right now.
Yeah.
So the secret, maybe we kind of alluded to it a little bit. It's in the title of the podcast. What is it? And it's basically just right. You may be even stressed right now thinking about all of the stuff that we're talking about here. Let's just do a quick exercise. Just go ahead and take a deep breath. Just like deep breath in. Big deep breath. Let it all the way out. There you go.
That's fantastic. Actually, you know, and it's something, it is one of those things. So we'll talk about what these 12 reasons are. But you know what's funny? Without knowing this, like, you'll do this too, right? You'll have something, it'll be a big stressful something, and you just got off the phone with somebody and, you know, or just whatever, and then you just kind of sit there and you go... And you just do that, and then you're like, but you don't even, it's a weird thing of how it does, it's a weird way of like kind of calming you down, where just take that deep breath, like take that deep breath, but instead of doing it almost reflexively, we're going to say, like, let's talk about the first reason of why you should start doing it on purpose. Why you should just go, now is a good time to do this. And just like you would make that decision to, now is a good time to go work out, or now is a good time to go and eat. Same deal here where we're talking about, now, why is it a good reason why you should do this? All right, so number one, Jay, number one.
Number one reason you should start breathing on purpose. So you start thinking about this. And it is that you will probably not find a faster... I don't know. I've been studying quite a bit on this. And I do not think there's anything else in existence that will lower your stress faster and easier. And guess what? Oh, free. Yeah, totally costs nothing. You don't have to go anywhere. There's no gym required. You don't need any extra special equipment. Nothing. You can lower your stress right now by doing breathing. And I'm not, you know, I mean, this is like, okay, blah, 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 whatever. That's just an opinion and a perspective, but there's actual facts on this.
Right.
There's actual science behind this. In fact, there's science in all of our reasons that we have here, which is great. One of the studies that we have on factory workers shows that, this is from the International Journal of Occupational Safety and Ergonomics. Workers who had trained you breathing exercises over just over a month had 58% less depression.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even 58%. Know if the medication gives you, you know, whatever depression medication has a 58% reduction in depression.
I'm not convinced of that at all, actually. Anxiety also 37% less, and overall stress 30%.
That's huge.
This is breathing exercises that they're doing over a month, and they spend I think it's a few minutes a day doing those exercises. They were trained specifically to do them, and then 50% over 50% less depression. Mind blown.
Yeah, no, that's huge.
It's also, along with that, it's a question of like, how do you manage your emotions when you're stressed? So you're driving to work, or now you're stuck in a line waiting to buy groceries, and now the people in front and behind you are no longer at 6 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
They're 2 feet. 1 foot away.
They want to kill you from the coronavirus.
They're trying to kill you.
Yeah. That would be my thing.
There's just little children swarming everywhere, little clouds of disease and virus, and just it's a minor thing, honestly.
Right.
It's a minor thing in that moment, but everywhere we go, like now, there's no more toilet paper. You know, you went to the store, and you're gonna have to go to one effing more store here. Just that concept of like being aware of your emotions, no matter how irritated you are in the moment, you can always come back to this idea of, oh yeah, hold on, just deep breath.
So, and you know what's an interesting thing? So part of that too, there's a mental part that goes with it, and it just a light bulb went off in my head. So I've been rereading a book called Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss, although I guess he says Timothy Ferriss on his book cover.
I thought it was, isn't it Timmy?
Timmy! There's a section there, if you don't know. He gives a list of questions and put it out to, I don't know, a lot of people. And then they all answer these questions. But one of the things is, when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do? What questions do you ask yourself? And that's one of the questions that he posed. And this particular person, Graham Duncan, who I believe he's a hedge fund owner, whatever, venture capitalist. He says, I ask myself, what would be the worst thing about my outcome not going the way I want? And then you just focus on it that way and go, oh, yeah. Okay, like what is the worst thing? You know, it's like, I love that, because then you just go, eh, all right. So that can help you mentally take a step back. You go, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? You go like, oh, all right, because you most of the time we're worried about things that are either out of our control or something that's like, you know, you're running late, you're going to be 5 minutes late to a meeting. What's the worst thing that will happen?
Well, I suppose you could get fired.
Sure. But then you go, okay, well, I could get fired. But then you go, really, I'd get fired for being there 5 minutes late.
Probably not.
But, you know, again, and then that's where you start going. You go, ah, it's not that big of a deal. And take in some of these breathing exercises, right? So
you can start to connect that concept of, where are you thinking about, like, being aware of your just being aware of your emotions? And I love that that concept of like, okay, so I'm stressed right now, or I'm freaking out right now. Hold on, what's the worst that could happen? So Talent Smart, and so we have another interesting study here. Talent Smart conducted research with over 1 million people and found that the 90% of the top performers are skilled at managing their emotions under stressful situations.
Well, yes.
And yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, you can look at it from a business side, but you can look at it from a success in any field side.
In anything. Yes. Because if you get overwhelmed by your emotions in a stressful situation, so you guys may notice this too. We're in a unique situation with this coronavirus, where you're probably noticing some people where you're like, I thought this guy pretty much had it together, and he's kind of freaking the F out. You know, I mean, like, there you may be coming into contact with those people where you're kind of seeing chinks in their armor a little bit because of this overall stressful situation. And which is pretty interesting. I know I've spoken with my dad about this, and he's run into some colleagues of his that have the same kind of thing where he's like, I didn't know that they were so prone to, you know, hype and getting all stirred up in everything. And it's interesting.
It's really fascinating to watch. And this is a perfect kind of environment for you to spend some time thinking about how you respond to stress.
Right. Absolutely.
There's so many reasons to be aware of your stress. And when we finally get through coronavirus and come out the other side, the people who have spent some time working on how they respond to stress will be well prepared, because you'll be go, okay, well, if I can deal with the stress of all of the people around me kind of losing it, and the potential of death and the potential of economic ruin and collapse, and, you know, just all of the news every 30 seconds telling me that the world is ending. Like, if I can deal with that, then when things don't end, when, you know, the meteor doesn't hit and wipe out all the dinosaurs, when we're actually survive this, then when I go to my job and I have an irritating coworker, I'll be able to go, oh, this is not that big a deal, and yeah, this is how I can work through it.
Exactly.
I can become, well, so like number two on our list here, makes this, the breathing helps to make you calmer. And there's an actual really interesting study about this. There's a UCLA did a study showing a neural link between something called the pre-Baltzinger complex and another brainstem structure. Your dad would be really helpful here, Matt. The brainstem structure, this one affects arousal. That's called the locus coeruleus. These neural circuits are connected in a really interesting way. So if you breathe more rapidly, they will get turned on, and that will make you more anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And when you breathe slower, they will calm you down. So it works. It works either way. So when you're stressed out, you will start to get ramped up, and you'll notice your breathing is, so as your breathing goes faster, you become more anxious. Like, you'll watch a lot of people who are about to go into a fight. Every one of those guys are just sitting over there in the corner, just kind of like, just chilling. No, they're not. None of them are like that. They're like, fucking, just gonna kill this guy. Just
right.
Get out of the soul. Let's go. Let's go. Shh. Breathe them faster. Breathe them higher. Ramping themselves up. And that is changing their mental state by breathing faster. So you can do that if you want to, and you can turn it around and breathe slower if you want to. And this link between this pre-Baltzinger complex, your locus coeruleus, this neural link that says when you consciously change your breathing, it changes your brain, is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. And so just so you guys know too, we're going to go through this list, and at the end of the list, we're going to give you some instruction on what some of these breathing exercises are. There's a couple that we have. So in case you guys are wondering right now, you're going, okay, well, good, I get it. Lowers your stress. We're good here. But how do I do it? We'll get to how you can do it, and because that is very important. So I wanted to interject that in here as well. So
yeah, let's breathing great, very important. We want to do it. How?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So and we're gonna talk. Yeah, that's good. We're gonna talk about that as well. So and it's partially a combination of using breathing and combining the breathing with why you should be breathing, but also how breathing fits into a larger context of being aware of your stress and being aware of how your brain and how your body connect to this stuff. Matt, what's number three on our list here?
All right. So what we have number three is it helps you stop. Or it helps to stop you from responding automatically to difficult situations. It gives you a pause. It helps you with that pause. And just that pause is crazy, right? So you have, dogs start going nuts. Whatever. I mean, there's so many things, and you just need to, like, we automatically go into that fight or flight kind of mentality. And that just like that's what you automatically do, and it's like it doesn't require that kind of reaction. So you can just take a second back, you know, take a step, take a second, and give yourself some time for you to get a little mental calmness before you react to whatever the situation, the stimulus is. That's a big one.
It's a really big deal. I'm thinking about one of my old bosses, the lady who started our clinic, was amazing. She started our clinic. She started half a dozen other clinics for massage, and then she went out and started some ancillary businesses alongside that. I think at one point she was running something like a dozen, maybe 15 businesses, all successfully. And most people have trouble with a business being successful. And one of the things I loved about being around her was that compared to most people, they would come in and be like, okay, I have this client on the phone. They're freaking out. They're going to cancel. They have a complaint about this. This is falling apart. And they got this charge and she's waiting. She can't even deal right now. And my boss would just be like, she just had this kind of like cool calm. She wouldn't even respond for a couple of seconds. And she'd be like, all right. So that was Sarah. Great. Line one. Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much. Yeah. She's on hold right now. Perfect. I'll give her a call. Or I'll talk to her here in just a second. Didn't ever respond immediately. Never.
Right.
No matter what the circumstances were. And that was like one of those things that as a habit, if we can incorporate that into our processing of difficult situations,
I think like
makes,
you know,
such a huge difference.
It does, and I think that you should have a, you know, there are situations that require immediate response to, but then there are situations that do not, and most don't. Very few actually do.
Right? How many things require this second without even a 3 second pause? Oh shit! Fuck.
Yeah. Right.
Dude, come on. I can't even believe it. There are times, like if you're on the freeway and somebody cuts in front of you, you don't have 2 seconds.
You're like, okay, well, let's measure this one out. All right, I'm dead.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
There's how many situations, no matter how stressful they are, how many situations can't take 3 seconds for you to go, okay. All right, let's do this.
Right. It's absolutely the case. So you could take a few seconds for it. And, you know, if you you want to read a little bit more deeply into this, to check out our article, The Power of 10, on our website. Let's go into number four, Jay.
Number four is really interesting to me that I actually, before studying this article and the podcast here, I didn't know. So this kind of blew my mind. People in this particular study from connected back again to UCLA showed that when you breathe more deeply, you actually perform better on memory tests. Which I had no idea.
Well, I imagine you'd have a it would be interesting to dive into the research. I haven't I haven't done that, but really when I think, you know, almost always if you have that fight or flight response, you have to do something automatically. It's usually, you know, unless you're in a, like, I got to jump out of the way of, you know, this thing that's hurtling towards me, so I don't have time to think about it. That's just like, well, I'm jumping over out of the way of this thing. You don't really care where you're jumping. You could be jumping into, you know, a place where there's alligators. Well, but, you know, you got out of the way of that immediate thing. Now you have to deal with something else. So your answer may not be the best. However, doing this where if it's not one of those types of situations, you can take a moment, relax a little bit, think a little bit more clearly, and just because you're giving your brain more time to process all of those different pieces that you could have. So I could definitely see that.
Well, and it's really interesting connecting those two up into our next, our number five here on the list here. But when you are breathing more, the research says that you are lowering cortisol and affecting the parasympathetic versus the sympathetic. So that's the fight or flight body
right.
response versus the rest and digest response. And when you're in that really high state, I don't know if any of you ever been like this, but I've definitely had times where when there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on, and I'm like juggling a whole bunch of things, somebody comes later and says, "You remember this?" And I'm like, "No." I'll be honest, today was just a blur. Like, what did you eat? Let me think. What did I have for breakfast? I didn't have breakfast. Yeah. Because so much was happening, and I was so like fight or flight chaos mode, I didn't have a chance to even absorb and hold on to that. So giving a chance to breathe and do nothing else differently, but breathing will help to put your brain back into a state where you can hold on to information, process it better, and to be better capable of dealing with whatever it is, including that stress. So that's pretty fascinating. Number five, what do we got here, Matt?
All right, number five, improves digestion, reduces cortisol. What is cortisol? Isn't that like a cream I put on me?
No. The cortisol is that stress hormone.
Oh, yeah.
That jacks you up.
So I don't rub that on me. That's
most people probably know cortisol from watching advertisements for drugs that
will help your belly fat.
Yes. Yeah. Belly fat is connected to cortisol. As cortisol is higher, there is a small link. But hey, you know, if you can reduce that, then your belly will go away, and it has nothing to do with what you're eating. And
yeah,
has nothing
I can
to do
eat
with
whatever I want, right?
As long as I keep cortisol down. Well, there is some truth to that. That parasympathetic branch of the nervous system, it's going to slow your heart rate down. And it's going to improve your digestion. It's going to improve your hormone levels overall. And if your body's digestion system is working better, which is that's a really big deal. This is from Dr. Richard Brown here at Columbia University, associate professor at Columbia. So he knows some things. Digestion is a big deal when it comes to the body processing the food that you eat and turning that into, well, you.
Yes.
Because what you eat becomes you. So if your body can take the food and digest it better, then it's going to be able to make you better. So, and that, again, if you can get that kind of like regular breathing, your body goes, oh, I guess we're cool.
Yeah.
All right. I can chill out and I can do the functions of my body that I normally would maybe have trouble with. And as you'll notice, I'm sure you've known people who have a tendency to be higher stress. A lot of them don't eat that well.
Right. Well, yes, I would agree. And, you know, and it's funny, something just like kind of struck out at me. It's like, think about, like, if you're really stressed or there's a really crazy thing going on, how do you breathe? Like, you're not sitting there like nice slow breathing. Like, if you're super stressed, you're gonna be what, even if you're not doing any, you know, work or anything too. So yeah, I mean, it's your body ramped up is that heavy fast breathing and whatever, and then the state of your body being at a good place is nice, slow, relaxed breathing. Like, that's where that really is, which I think kind of, you know, kind of tells your whole body that that's where you want to be. I'm good. Like, I'm good. I'm right where I should be. So, what's number six?
Number six, six and seven kind of blend these together.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
Six is, it's going to improve your cardiovascular health. And that's a big deal for a lot of people. You know, heart disease is a challenge that a lot of Americans have to work with. And when you're stressed, it affects blood flow to your heart. So if you can reduce your stress, this is from Dr. Kimberly Park's cardiologists at Massachusetts General Hospital. If you can reduce blood flow and smooth out that process, your heart's not going to have to work as hard. And if your heart doesn't work as hard, then your overall chance of a longer, better use of that muscle, that's the other thing. There's two things that we don't have to think about that work, but that we can change by thinking about it. You can change your breath.
Yep.
And you don't ever have to think about your breathing and you'll still do it, thankfully. But at any point, you can change how you breathe. And the same deal with your heart rate. Thankfully, we don't have to think, okay, breathe.
Yeah.
Breathe.
and
heart rate,
heart
and bump, and but with yeah. feedback, and it's harder to do than breath, but it is definitely connected. You can speed up or slow your heart rate down, and that is something that we do have control of, and not as directly as breathing, but we can actually change that. So to be thinking about how your heart is working, just to be even thinking that your heart is working right now. Most people could go yeah. a month and never even think about their heart. But if you can think, okay, if I'm chilling out here and you spend some time doing the breathing exercises that we're going to recommend here in just a minute, you'll have an opportunity to tap back into that. Along with that, with your heart working and your body getting that blood moving is your energy level. That's number 7. If you can breathe better, your energy level is going to go up. And that's a big deal, because when the heart is pumping things through your system, but you don't have enough oxygen in your system, then you're tired and sluggish.
Yep.
Which is really, it's really fascinating. In fact, actually carbon dioxide triggers the release of oxygen in the blood. So when you do big breaths, like just really get in there and just all the way in and all the way out, it's going to help get out all of the carbon dioxide that's in your system and helps the body balance the oxygen, nitrogen, and the carbon dioxide, which is always happening, right? We have these gases that are moving in and out of us continuously throughout the day. You know, when I mean, some of us more gas than others, but
you know,
generally speaking, like, gas is something that's continuously happening. We never see it, so you don't think about it.
Right.
But if we can boost that oxygen level, we'll talk about how to do that a little bit more here in a second, we're going to get the opportunity to make your heart's not going to have to work as hard, and you are going to be more energized as a result of it.
Yep.
Matt, number 8.
Number 8, we lose weight by breathing. No, so I actually watched a whole TED Talk on this.
Let's say that one more time.
We lose weight by breathing. We'll link to that here in the show notes here for this TED Talk that actually was super cool, because most of the time people go, well, you eat, but then how do you lose weight? Like, what is weight loss? How are you losing weight? And most people don't realize it, but almost the biggest piece is based on our breathing. That's where we're losing whatever those are. And if you really want to dive into, you know, what your body uses for energy and how it breaks it down, and then the waste products of that energy and how you're getting rid of it, and how do you get rid of it if you have, you know, 20 pounds of fat on your body, and then next year you have 1 pound of fat on your body? How did you lose that 19 pounds? Where did it go? And the thing is it came out from breathing. That's where you got rid of it. I mean, there's a lot of other mechanisms that occur for you to get it to the point where you're going to lose it by breathing, but that's where it goes. That's where all of that weight ends up. It's pretty cool, actually.
Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it is totally cool.
I didn't know that. Your body can get rid of at least 200 grams of carbon a day by breathing it out.
Right, so 200 grams, like, what's that, half, three quarters of a pound or so, right? I don't know, metric to imperial to, I don't know, yen. I don't know where I'm converting it.
Translation, your body is actually getting rid of fat as you breathe.
Yep.
So if you want to breathe better and breathe more, and we're going to recommend that you do a little bit of exercise to facilitate that.
Absolutely.
But if you breathe more, you will be able to get rid of a little bit of weight, and which is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it
is. Just be careful if you're sitting there at your desk eating donuts and breathing really fast. I I can't say that that's necessarily going to work.
Probably not so much there.
That is working, I would like to. We'd love send us an email, podcast at We Are Superior Men. We'd love to hear how your donuts, your breathing strategy is overcoming your donut strategy.
Yeah, right. All right. So what's next?
Number nine, this is something that probably a lot of people have experienced at least at one point or another. It is that breathing, and especially conscious breathing, will lower your pain and improve your pain threshold. So this comes back to your Lamaze breathing.
Right.
Anybody that has had a kid knows very directly how breathing is a big part of being able to deal with pain.
Yeah. So if you have kids, actually, I would just say normally, even if you didn't birth them, like I didn't birth them.
Around somebody who has
just deep breathing will help with your pain threshold. It's absolutely true. It's amazing what it does. It's amazing how your brain is able to respond in cases of stress and other stimulus, and how much really your brain can override that. And we got to help it a little bit and kind of tell it that this is something that we want to do. So if you're, you know, lowering pain by doing some of this conscious breathing can definitely help. Number 10.
Number 10, it helps to detox your system. Pretty much everybody. So Matt, when you exhale, what comes out of you? Everyone knows the answer to this question.
Nitrogen?
Actually,
yes.
There's a little bit,
the majority.
Carbon dioxide.
Yes, carbon dioxide is our waste product that we're producing, right? That's what we're getting. That's what we're trying to get rid of.
That's the main one. But also along with the carbon dioxide, a bunch of other stuff comes out too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including methanol, isoprene, acetone, ethanol.
Yep.
Ethanol. So
well,
a lot of you guys know ethanol for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, those of you who have ever taken a breath test from a police officer or watched a movie or something where they're like, blow into this thing, that's what they're testing. It's from your lungs. It's the blood alcohol. Your lungs are trying to get rid of it. So you're trying to breathe that out. You literally are breathing it out. About that. That's some expensive breathing.
That is, if you want to can maybe capture that, you know, walk around and hold on to that so that you can come at,
yeah,
maybe access it later. This, each of those and other various compounds are considered volatile organic compounds, VOCs. And that is part of the carbon dioxide that you breathe out.
Yep.
If you are breathing better, more consciously, you will actually be helping the body to flush things out of your system on a regular basis, which is kind of a spectacular concept there. You're like, what are you doing right now? Like you're drinking a lot, but then you're also doing a lot of breathing. Like,
you don't really think about it. Like, you know, you think of like, what's the waste from your body? Everybody's like, well, you pee and you poop. And those two things are your waste.
Sweat out all some other stuff.
Sure. But that's really what people think. And actually, poop, really, that's not anything because it doesn't – it's in a large tube in your body but never actually in your body. So when you pee, when urine, that is actually filtered out from your blood. But nobody ever thinks about breathing, where you're releasing a ton there because that's coming from your bloodstream. That's what your lungs do. It directly is filtering stuff out of your bloodstream, and then it's also putting stuff into your bloodstream as well. So that's your direct connection from the air around us into our body and then from our body into the air around us. So you know, really, there's only those two filtering mechanisms in our body. Sweat, like I said, but there's not really a lot of...
A very small amount comparatively.
Not a lot of not a lot of stuff is actually being filtered out of your body that way. You know, you're mostly doing it for, you know, to cool your body down or whatever. But just, it's an interesting thing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely fascinating how you can detox by breathing.
Absolutely.
Number 11, what's the 11th so benefit?
It can boost your endorphins. So if you think about, like, your Buddhist monks, like, you know, they just sit there and they're meditating, right? Well, they're not just, like, sitting there like, what is going on in my head? I'm just doing the stuff and the things. No, like, there's a conscious, they're doing very conscious breathing. They're, like, either there's specific chants that they're going through. There's a lot that is part of it. And imagining things, you know, positive imagery. There's a lot of stuff you can do to boost your endorphin level just based on your breathing, your mindset, what you are choosing to be conscious of. And that's another very large one.
It's a really big deal. A lot. I mean, you probably have, most everybody knows of the connection between some form of higher level exercise and the endorphins. I mean, you get that workout rush, right? You finish your workout and you feel so good afterwards. Well, what if you don't have time to do that? Maybe you're not even motivated to go to the gym. If you spent 5 minutes at your house, just sitting in a chair or at your office, and thought, oh, hey, you know what? I could actually get a little bit of that endorphin buzz just from breathing, and I don't have to go anywhere. Would you do it?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I would. Why not?
It's almost like a no-brainer. So we got one more.
Yep.
And this is kind of the maybe the most obvious. Well, you breathe more, you have more oxygen in your body.
Yep. Very. So, and it's a huge component of life and what we are doing. So we need to have more oxygen. That's why when you go running, like you start breathing heavier, you're not doing that consciously. Your body's like, we need to get out some stuff. We need to get more stuff in. So that's what it's doing. So, but you can do that without hyperventilating. You don't need to go crazy, but yeah, it's a thing.
It's absolutely fascinating. I'll be curious, you know, how many people do you think out there know the benefits of oxygen? Like, we all know we need more oxygen. Oxygen's good, but, like, do you know exactly what's happening in your system with oxygen and without it when you have higher and lower levels? When you don't have enough oxygen, you are up to 16 times less efficient.
Wow.
When you don't have sufficient levels of oxygen, you generate a lot of lactic acid, which, especially when you're doing quite a bit of working out and your system isn't performing effectively, you get that buildup in your muscles, you get really sore. When you have great oxygen capacity, then the soreness goes way down. Bottom line, you're less efficient as an organism, as a machine, because that's really what we are, right?
Right.
We're a giant machine to burn, to consume things and translate the things that we eat into energy. And that machine loses efficiency up to 16 times less efficient, the less oxygen that we get. So oxygen is a huge part of your daily life, and you know, you're never going to see it. It's completely invisible. It's kind of like love, but you can absorb it just by breathing, whereas love usually takes a little bit more work.
So let's talk about, we went through the 12. Let's talk about how we can do, what are some of these breathing techniques? So let's get into what some of those are, because I think that's really important.
All right. So
how do we do this? So Jay's got one. I got one. So they're somewhat related. So let's talk about it. Go ahead.
All right. First one is, and you may have heard this when you were in school. Maybe you took a class. Most people breathe when they take a deep breath. So just right now, go ahead and put your hand on your chest and take a deep breath. Just... Okay. So when you took your breath right there, do you feel your shoulders move up at all? Do you feel like your chest, your rib cage kind of expanded a little bit? If you felt that, then you are not breathing the best way that you could breathe. Your goal when you breathe should be to breathe into your belly rather than your chest. And why is that? Because when you use your diaphragm, you're able to suck in a lot more air. It makes your body a lot more efficient. When you breathe in your chest, you're breathing fairly shallowly because your rib cage can't expand very much. It can only move just a little bit. There's only so much you can do in there. But if you use your diaphragm, you can suck in a lot more air, so the same breath can become dramatically more efficient. So one more breath, this time put it on your belly. And the goal when we breathe in this time is to try and move your belly out maybe an inch or two here. So let's do one more deep breath here. Just go ahead and breathe in through into the belly. And you notice the difference when you breathe in through there. You maybe feel a little bit lightheaded or a little bit, you know, feel a little bit more kind of woozy. You take a couple of deep breaths using diaphragmatic breathing, which is what that's called, versus chest breathing. That's going to make a big difference. So we have breathing technique here. Matt, go ahead and give us your actual breathing technique that you have. And then I got one as well.
So definitely. So the belly breathing is the big one. Because I think a lot of us just go, I don't know, whether we're self-conscious of our bellies or we just don't want to, or whatever, we don't do the belly breathing. That one's really important. Just, you know, if you feel like you're self-conscious of this, just go in your room by yourself or something, or go where nobody can see you, if that's what it is. But basically there's sort of a rhythm to it. So what you'd want to do is you want to make sure that you're doing that belly breathing. Your shoulders, your chest isn't moving. Your belly is going in and out. So that's the first thing. You want to take a nice, deep, slow breath from your belly, counting to four as you breathe in. So a nice, slow breath in. So count to four as you're breathing in. And then you hold it and silently count from one to seven. And then breathe out as completely as you can, and then just try to make it nice and slow. So try to do an eight count as you're breathing out. So, you know, we maybe going one to four was kind of felt slow. We want to even go slower breathing out.
All right, yeah, tell you what, why don't you do it really quick for us so we can get a all chance right. to see what
so
it feels like.
Let's see what that feels like. All right, so again, we're going in to four, so we're gonna go, all right, so now let's take a nice, slow, deep breath in from your belly. So we're going to count. So take a breath in. One, two, three, four. Now hold it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And now out slowly. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And on that eight count, you want to have it all done. So that's a nice breathe in four, hold it, and then let it out nice and slow. Do that three to seven times until you calm yourself down a little bit. It's called the 4-7-8 breathing. And it's bringing it in, holding it, breathing it out all the way. Now, again, do that several times in a row. You know, if you want, go ahead and pause it. Remember, breathe in four, hold it seven, out eight. 4-7-8 breathing. Do that. Pause it now. Do that three or four times. See how you feel at the end of it.
That's a great exercise. The counting is really helpful, because then it gets you to be thinking, and you don't have to count slow. You can count fast. You can, you know,
sure,
breathe in, one, two, three, four, hold, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, breathe out, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, and start again. And it's going to be more difficult for you to go slower, a little easier to go faster. You can go quite fast with those. The point is, it gives you something to be thinking about as you're and to focus on as you're doing it. And like you're saying, like Matt's saying there, you know, repeating five, seven, 10 times or longer. And just that, you know, just a couple of minutes, maybe 1 or 2 minutes worth, you'll be like, really quickly, you'll notice a difference.
Absolutely.
In fact, even right now, as you did that, you probably already started to go, hey, that was, that's actually not too bad. We're going to give you another exercise. So 4-7-8 is triangle breathing. So you breathe in and you hold and you breathe out. This one is square breathing. So you can choose the shape that you like the best. We're going to do a five count on the square breathing here. So it goes something like this, similar to the way Matt was doing the 4-7-8. We're going to breathe in for five, hold for five, exhale for five, and then hold for five. And then we go back through. So we'll do that really quick here. All right. So make sure you're comfortable, get your good posture, and then just go ahead and inhale 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and hold 2, 3, 4, 5 and exhale 2, 3, 4, 5 and hold 2, 3, 4, 5 Now we'll do one more quick count of those. Inhale 2, 3, 4, 5 hold 2, 3, 4, 5 and exhale 2, 3, 4, 5 and hold 2, 3, 4, 5 All right, so take a deep breath, let it out. How are you feeling right now?
Feels good. I mean, really, it does. It like, it's a weird, almost, I'm not going to call it a rush, but it's like, it's definitely a mood changer. So it really feels very nice. It feels very good.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how something that simple can change you so quickly.
It does. It's really cool.
I have actually heard, and I don't have statistics on this, but I have heard that a significant benefit for smokers comes from the breathing and not from the nicotine. The state change where you go outside, you get in the sun, you're with friends, you know, and then you're doing this conscious breathing where you're just sucking in and breathing out and sucking in and breathing out, that a big benefit of that. And same for if you're doing other kinds of smoking as well, that's a really big deal. So let's do a quick review here. Matt, what are the 12 reasons we want to breathe on purpose?
All right, so let's go through this real quick. It lowers your stress, makes you calmer, helps you helps stop you from responding automatically, gives you that pause, helps you think more clearly, improves digestion, improves cardiovascular health, increases energy. Remember, we lose weight by breathing. There's that one too. Lowers pain and improves your pain threshold. Detoxes the body, boosts endorphins, and adds more oxygen to your body.
It is those things right there. Write them down. This will make a difference to your system. Make sure that you use your diaphragm. Practice that square or triangle breathing, and highly recommend taking a break a couple of times a day. Some breath breaks. Maybe set an alarm to go off on your phone during stressful periods of the time. Maybe you're in a big meeting or other things that you have before going into that meeting. Take a couple of minutes and just do some breathing. If you're at work, if you're driving, if you're under any kind of chaotic situation, come back to that breath. It's always available to you. And that will, it'll make a big difference. So we want to say thank you very much for listening to our show today. We hope that these breathing exercises and this information will help make a big difference for you. On behalf of Matt, remember, men, breathe and stay superior.
You just listened to the Superior Men Podcast. If you enjoyed our show, make sure to subscribe so you can hear all of our best content. And if you want to help your friends get smarter, make sure to share this episode with them. For more information about this podcast and hundreds of ways you can upgrade your life, visit us online at wearesuperiormen.com. Remember, gentlemen, live superior.
disconnect. I got it going on. No shame, competition going on. You know the fact that I got it going on.